Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, and we are in Luke chapter 1. We have just read the context of Luke 1, 26 through 38, about the angel Gabriel and his talk, revealing himself to Mary, called Miriam in our translation of Panin's Bible, and him opening up and showing her that she's going to give birth and have a son, and what name to call him. And his name will be Yahweh plus Sozo, which means Jesus. Yahweh is salvation. That his name is going to have the name salvation in it. He is the one that's going to lead man to salvation, and he is God. So it's Yahweh is going to lead us himself to salvation. He's going to take on the form of a man, understand all of our weaknesses, and yet lead us out of this sin of Adam, the sin of not having the Holy Spirit, being born without the Holy Spirit. So here he performs a miracle, and John is born with the Holy Spirit in him. Jesus, of course, is God, but in his human form, he's born as a man, and exactly like we are, yet he will be without blemish, and he will lead us to salvation. He is the good shepherd. He has come to rescue us, the lost sheep, from death and into eternal life, into the fold, back into the fold, eventually into eternal life. And you guys brought up a couple of points when we were just talking here privately. And what was that?
Before, when we were reading back in Luke chapter 1, verse, give me a second here.
Wait a second. Did we introduce ourselves? Did you guys introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Andy from Vancouver.
Hi, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
That was my fault. Go ahead.
But we were reading in Luke chapter 1, where Zacharias asks a question. He gets told about all this information that he's going to have a son and his wife's barren. And so he asks this question. Well, let me back up. God sent an angel to Zacharias while he was ministering in the sanctuary.
How far up in the sanctuary?
He was at the altar of incense. So there was some prayer going on.
In the holy place. In a dangerous place if you're not right with God. A priest can lose their life in the area where he is ministering if they do anything wrong that would offend God.
So God sent an angel, Gabriel, we find out by name, to talk to Zacharias about, you know, what you're going to have a son. And he tells him what he's going to name, or God already named him. And his name's going to be John. And he gives a kind of a list of things about John, that he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So that put him in a category of one.
Only him. Of all the fallen men born, he is the only one.
And so after hearing all that, he asks a question. And the question was, verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am old, I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in her days. And what ended by happening with this is a little bit further down in 19, he says, "And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, that stand in God's presence, and I was sent to speak unto thee and bring thee good tidings. And lo, thou shalt be silent, unable to speak, until the day that these things shall come to pass, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled upon or unto their season." So he asks a question, but and in the intention of his question, it was unbelief. He was asking in unbelief. And we looked a little bit later on with Mary, who we find to be is going to be the mother of Jesus. And she asks a question. She gets visited by an angel, and she's not in the sanctuary. So this context here talks about he came to her and sent an angel to talk to her. And he tells her about, you know, you're going to bear a son. And in verse 31, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And she asks the question, let me see here, in verse 31 or 34, and Miriam said unto the angel, how shall this be, since I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Now, just to kind of back up a little bit, you look at those two questions, and it kind of, when I was first looking at that for a long time.
There's no word kind of in the Bible.
Thank you. See, that's another word I'm trying to get rid of out of my vocabulary.
I notice a lot of Christians in Christendom use that word. I've tried to lose that since I started reading the Bible.
Yeah, and I'll hear myself and I'll go, not kind of. So in this case, the questions, they seemed really similar. For a long time, I thought they were like, okay, why are these questions different? How come she didn't get put mute or made mute? And the reason behind that, we were just kind of talking a little bit about it, is one piece that I saw was that she didn't ask in unbelief because Zacharias did, and it's, and God made that known that through the angel, is that because thou believest not my words.
It's not a clear-cut thing there between the two of them, but there is, Zacharias was a priest of the Most High God. He was able to have communication directly with God. He was at the altar of incense. That shows his closeness to God. Miriam was not. And so a person that is more accountable, there's another place later on in the scriptures, to whom much is given, much is required. There was a different amount of requirement on Zacharias than even on Miriam. So maybe it was, they'd be splitting hairs as to the difference of belief. But he was had high requirements, bring a priest of the Most High God. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, no, I just saw something. You know what was interesting about what Zacharias was doing for his wife? He was praying for her, and it says, your prayers have been heard, and now he's questioning how this is going to happen. And so there's a scripture, I think we read it, that Jesus says, when you pray, believing you've already received it, which goes back to he had unbelief in this, these prayers that he was. You were just saying that. I was like, he asked for this, and now he doesn't believe it'll happen.
And he's standing right before the throne of God.
Yeah.
Doing that, and he didn't. And he should have known better being a priest. But yet, here is the best of all of us. Again, we really looked at ourselves going, like, are any of us like Zacharias and Elizabeth, righteous in all the law and the commandments, and yet God is very clear to show each of our failings as a son of man. And that was his punishment. And to people that are closer to him, God holds them more accountable. So if we desire to be closer to God, we have to be even more careful.
You know, the
the people that are listening to this, you might think we're really going slow through these two stories. And I wanted to point out here that these are two of the most important stories you'll ever hear in your life. They're the history of where God sent the Holy Spirit to John the Baptist and where Jesus is going to be born and how he did it. These are two important stories. Now, when I was a child, I was never told these Bible stories. Were you?
Nobody had ever told
these
me.
These are not the Bible stories that people tell.
You don't hear that about...
This is big.
Luke 1:15, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, talking about John. That was never talked about in church.
You know what I just saw, too? Us slowing down and backing up. That not only is the Holy Spirit involved in Jesus' birth, but the power of the Most High God. God the Father...
He's involved.
...and the Holy Spirit are involved in the birth of Jesus Christ. This is huge. So God is going to lower himself in a sense and allow his son to die. He's going to have to turn his back on Jesus, but to die for us. But the power of the most, not only the Holy Spirit, but the power of the Most High shall overshadow
the Most High is sitting there.
The Father is right involved in all this. God is... He's given it his all for us.
All three parts in that same picture.
Yeah. Coming together.
Coming together.
In Jesus.
So that's why we we have to be slow this.
Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And he says, the Spirit, it's also called the Spirit of Christ. And they come together here, but in the form of a man to rescue us out of this. Everybody got quiet. You know, when we go ahead and read the next context, we could still go back to any of these. And also, Matthew and Mark are free to talk about because we don't want to use what's further on in Luke. We don't want to go into John, you know, to compare. Mm-hmm. But whatever we've learned from Matthew and Mark is free game. We can talk about that here too. The next context is Luke chapter 1:39, and this goes all the way to 56. And this is getting ready for the birth. This is going to be from month 6 to month number 9. Of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptizer.
All right.
Which will be the birth of John the Baptist, getting ready again for Jesus' birth.
And Miriam arose in these days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Miriam, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, Blessed thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, when the voice of thy greeting came into my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed that there be a fulfillment of these things spoken to her from the Lord. And Miriam said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked upon the low estate of his bondmaid. For lo, from now on all generations shall call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is unto generations and generations on them that fear him. He hath showed strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud with the imagination of their heart. He has put down their princes from thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has given help to Israel his servant, to remember mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed unto the age. And Miriam abode there about 3 months and returned to her house.
Again, one of the main things that we're looking at here is showing that Jesus is the Son of Man. He is going to come, and it has to be one of the sheep, that is going to die for all the other sheep, but it has to be a sheep without spot nor blemish. And all this is proving that Jesus is of the lineage of a king who is Abraham. It all goes to prove in it, and he had to be. And this goes to prove that his salvation is going to be a particular way. There's going to be a person that is going to be raised up to baptize Jesus. It has to be the person that has all the right qualifications to do this. The stage is being set for the birth of Jesus, but the main thing is when he dies for us. That is the highlight of the Old Testament. That's when exactly the New Testament begins.
It's really interesting when we're sitting there looking at this, that God had chosen people who were righteous, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of God, and he called them blameless. He chose those people to have a son that would start that way. And he showed, we were talking about it before, that God showed their frailties as well. You know, that it's only, Jesus was the only one that could have done these things. And he goes into talking about Mary, and something that stuck out here. What did Mary say in verse 47? My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. She needed a Savior. God chose her to have his son. I know there is some doctrine out there about putting her up on a pedestal, but she didn't put herself up there either. She said she needed a Savior.
It even shows her frailties, because she didn't know where Jesus was back in Mark 3. They went looking for him. She wasn't perfect. You know, if you pray to Mary, Mary didn't always know where he was. Isn't that a ridiculous prayer, really? And some people do pray, and they were looking for Jesus, and he was in his house, and she didn't know. This is Luke chapter 1, 57 is the next full thought or context to 66.
Now Elizabeth's time was fulfilled that she should be delivered, and she gave birth to a son. And the neighbors and her kinsfolk heard that the Lord had magnified his mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they all marveled, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, What then will this child be? For the Lord's hand was also with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Bless the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited...
You went into another context.
I did, yes.
So is there anything you wanted to bring up here? And isn't it interesting? Here's that immediately again, but again, none of the Bible books has immediately so many times as Mark, but here's immediately John confessing that it's Jesus, and immediately his tongue spake. His name is John, and all marveled, and his mouth opened immediately in his tongue, and he spoke, blessing of God. If there's nothing, we can finish up that. Actually, I'd finish up the chapter, because this is all the birth of John the Baptist, who will go before Jesus and proclaim the coming of the Lord.
That's
67 to the end of the chapter.
Okay. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and wrought redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in his servant David's house, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets from the age, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, delivered out of our enemies' hands, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Yea, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for thou shalt go before the Lord to make ready his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the remission of their sins, because of the bowels of the mercy of our God, wherein day spring from on high shall visit us, to shine upon them and sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel."
So the way is actually the same as salvation, the road of salvation. Thou shalt go before the Lord and make ready his ways to give knowledge of salvation. So is like his way is a highway that it talked about in the Old Testament. And a highway will be there. And it's called the way of the highway of holiness. And I think there is one is talking about in the new heaven and new earth, but I think this was also the highway of holiness.
Yeah, because it says in holiness and righteousness before him all our days to serve him.
So it's a way, but that way is going to continue on into more of a holy and righteous way as time goes on into the thousand-year reign with Christ and into the new heaven and new earth. It's still the same way. And it's Jesus is on that way. He's the way. And within that way is the knowledge of salvation. So you cannot be, you cannot think you're in the way and you're not hearing about salvation. And in the way, you'll be hearing about John the Baptizer who prepared the way for Jesus. You'll definitely find Jesus in the way, and you'll find peace. It's also called the way of peace.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
You know, like you get on Interstate 5, you can go a lot faster than you can on some of these roads, the 502 or the 503. Up here that's got stop signs everywhere, and people aren't always kind, and traffic doesn't always move the way you want to move, but the way of peace and the way of the Lord are totally different. That he will make ready the way, his ways, Jesus' ways.
And it says to shine upon those who are in darkness or who sit in darkness, so on this way is going to be like a light?
Like road lights on a regular physical road.
You'll be able to see where you're going on this road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it'll shine more and more too. There's scriptures that show that later on. But as you get closer to that way, it'll get brighter and brighter. If you're not quite on it, you might see it off in a distance. You know, as it's coming close to you, maybe the Lord, you're at a point, you're getting close to the entrance to the holy place, like where John ministered. It was a temple, and it says, "We are the temple of the living God." And it's going to shine more and more as you see that you're getting closer and closer to it. But you want to make sure you're on the way. And it's also called, you'll find peace there, the way of peace. You'll find salvation there. Mercy, verse 78. Holiness and righteousness, you'll find those things in the way. What else are you going to see? You'll see people prophesying and blessing the Lord. You'll see those kind of things that are talked about in this context. You'll find redemption.
Forgiveness of sins.
Serving him without fear.
Yeah. You have to worry about what other people think. Mercy. You'll find bowels of mercy and the washing away of sins on this way.
There's a song. It goes, the path of the just, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day.
Why don't we read chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and we're getting close to the time of Jesus' birth. John came to prepare the way of the Lord.
Now it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the inhabited earth be enrolled. This was the first enrollment made when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to David's city, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of David's house and family, to enroll himself with Miriam, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered. And she was delivered of her firstborn son, and they swallowed him and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
This is sweet. We even as kids remember hearing about this. This is something that is celebrated all over America and in other countries, European countries, and so on, when they get over the other holidays. Anyway, this was always the highlight of a year, because this time seemed to be a special time that people started thinking about God. There's no particular Jewish holiday at this time. This is a Christian. It's not in the Bible this time of year, because the main holidays are like in springtime and early fall are the three main feasts of the Lord. But this is that we think of during that time, but this is actually not during Christmas time. This is actually around September or October. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.